Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Back in the rugby dungeon. Ahead of the Autumn Internationals, a week away. I know it's England's games, 2 weeks, but there's actually games.
Couldn't care less.
Those games this week.
Couldn't care less.
There was games this week, right, Phil? So the Autumn Internationals have started, Premiership rumbles on, the Ultimate Fighting Championship as well, and lots more besides, which we will get into. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. If you haven't already and you appreciate the podcast being there, 52 weeks of the year, every single Monday, then that's how you can repay your gratitude, is just buy it and subscribe, simple as that. Alternatively, if you want to go one step further and get extra content as well, then patreon.com/eggchasers, which reminds me.
30 new subscribers this week alone.
There you go, people loving the extra little podcast.
They love it.
And also, I think one little reminder for the Patreon episode later, we need to do another shirt giveaway.
Ooh,
yeah. Let's do that.
Very good.
So I went training the other day, and that's why loads of these shirts are missing, because I wanted to try on various different shirts to see if I wanted one. So I have a rotation of rugby shirts which I wear for training. So I thought I was going to add one of the extra ones, one of the nicer ones, to my rotation.
Well, at least they're getting used by one of us, because someone asked me whatever happened to Jackson Ray's boots, which Jackson Ray gave to me after a Saracens game. One of the studs was broken, but I said to them, they were obviously a Saracens fan and remember me getting Jackson Ray's boots. I don't know if they were kind of hinting at maybe you could give them away, but I said, oh, no, within a week of donating them to the dungeon, JB had given them away.
Yeah, well, it's not often you find players with size 12 feet, and we have a player with size 12 feet, so my friend Owen, I believe, owns them now. And they've seen action again. They've been using anger.
The most disappointing thing that JB, not gives away, but just doesn't give to us.
Beer 52.
Beer 52. Every time we get a Beer 52 delivery for the pod.
But we, I keep telling
Tim and I never see any of it.
I keep telling them, right, there's three of us and they send one box. I don't know what you want me to do. What do you want me to do?
They don't send one beer. They send one box of beer.
No, they should send three. I've told them multiple times. There's one thing Beer 52 have plenty of. It's beer.
Very true.
All right.
And some good stuff as well.
We are contacteggchasers@gmail.com. Now, one thing which people have been enjoying over the last few weeks is us discussing misuse of the word literally.
Ooh, they literally love it.
They do
literally love it.
Yes.
Here's one from some friends of ours at the Mall Over podcast.
He's going to get picked, whatever.
If he does it against Tonga, everybody will be literally sucking Eddie Jones dry.
Wow, boys!
Everybody,
literally. Goodness me!
That was a discussion of will Eddie Jones bring in the youngsters for the Tonga game? If they do, everybody will be literally sucking Eddie Jones dry.
I would recommend you go and find that podcast and listen to the whole thing in its entirety for context.
Agreed.
Good lads, and we got sent another one as well. Which I will just try and find. Here we go. Alex Burridge got in touch and said he noticed James Haskell doing exactly the same.
What?
As I will demonstrate.
And I hope that this November goes really well for you. Yeah, I think Alex is playing brilliantly well. I think he's an amazing guy.
Hold on. Here's the Haskell bit now.
And I'm excited to see how you go and to enjoy every single moment of it, because I think you're in an amazing position. And I think if you keep working on yourself, the world is literally your oyster. Keep doing
this. Wow. Literally an oyster.
The world is literally his oyster.
All right. So
impressive.
I got a tweet today along the same lines. And it is the... I don't know if you've seen me retweet this. It's from Andrew Exum. I think I'm saying his name right. One of our USA listeners. And he's got the subtitles on for the Sale versus Tigers game. And this is what the subtitles say, but you've got to guess what it actually meant to say.
Okay. So did you say American subtitles?
Yeah, I think these are subtitles they're watching in America, right?
Okay.
It's growing kit when one of the sharpest noses in the business.
It's growing kit
when one of the sharpest noses in the business. This is what American death fans have to put up with, by the way.
It's growing kit. I'm thinking growing kit is a person.
Oh,
it's
good.
Rowan, no.
It's growing kit.
Rowan kit? No, that's not a guy. That's not a...
And this was the Leicester Sale game.
Leicester Sale game, yeah. It's growing kit. And here's a picture of one of the sharpest noses of the business. In the business, that's Kieran Wilkinson. There he is, lining his kick. Sharpest nose in the business.
Go on.
I don't know. What was going to say?
What it actually meant to say is, it's Rowan Kit, one of the sharpest TMOs in the business.
I thought Rowan Kit was a person. Brilliant. Is that one of those automatic...
It must be.
One of those automatic generated ones. The ones you can get on YouTube videos where it just automatically works out what's being said.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff.
Yeah, I don't think rugby's quite at the point anywhere, let alone in America, to justify the budget to pay someone to rapidly type out what the commentators are saying.
Yes, quite. Another good week of Premiership rugby.
Yeah.
Great weekend. But firstly, well, on Monday last week, after the podcast, the England squad was announced. So very, very quickly... Phil, if you can get up the England squad, let's just pick the England team for the AIs. And we should also mention the fact that it is Wales, New Zealand this weekend, isn't it? Next weekend, as we sit here now. Is that right?
Might be a thing that happens, I don't know.
Hold on,
It is
Wales. Should we just reference the
30th?
Should we reference the fourth body in the dungeon right now? Hey, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Someone we've all played rugby with.
Yep.
And Welsh. Actual Welsh, rather than self-loathing
mid-Welsh, so we can be friends, you see.
Are Wales playing, New Zealand?
Yes.
Next weekend.
Right, Saturday.
Yeah, there's some awesome international games on next weekend, to be fair, including, I want to say, Spain-USA, Spain has got someone interesting.
It will be an interesting fixture, actually. It's Spain versus Italy A.
Oh, that's nice. Not the one I saw.
That's next week.
The week after is Spain, Fiji.
I want to see Romania v Belgium or whatever. What was the game that had all the controversy?
Well, so the game with the controversy was Spain versus Belgium.
Yes.
But it was a Romanian referee.
That's right.
That meant that Romania could.
Yeah. So Spain Romania would be the game. Yeah, with the cheating ref.
Yes.
Vlad Ionucic or whatever his name is, but we don't talk about him anymore.
You just reminded me. Have we heard anything about Razzy Erasmus?
No,
yeah.
The hearings was set for, I think it's next week. I think it's 31st.
And he's also...
I'd pay to watch that.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's also
sure
travelling with the Springboks, isn't he? That was announced, that he's coming over.
I would assume. I don't think I've actually read that news, but yeah.
That'd be great if he travelled over with them and then came for his hearing and then just had to go back.
Oh my God, are they doing World Player of the Year this year? I mean, surely COVID will prevent that. But if they are, where will they do it? Because they used to do it in Monaco. Couldn't do it last year because of COVID. Before that, they did it straight after the World Cup in Japan.
Tokyo.
So where is it this year?
Don't know.
Well, our invite has obviously got stuck in the mail.
I'll dig some out. If it exists, I'll find you some invites.
World Rugby, hold it at Tok H. Yeah?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, we're open for business.
Yeah. So the England squad's been announced. So let's quickly rattle through, because the story's there. Rafi Quirk, is he injured longish term or is it just a short injury?
So I heard he was injured last week and it was bad enough that there was some concern. They call it a knee twinge. It sounds a little bit more than that to me, but we'll wait and see. I don't know.
That's interesting, because he could have been in line to be starting, I would suggest. Given the...
Okay, that's a question. Maybe rather than picking a whole team, would you throw the kids in against Tonga?
No, I wouldn't. I would throw Mark Atkinson in. He's the opposite to a kid. He's a fully grown man. And I think he's going to get a game. I can't imagine you pick a 32-year-old or 31-year-old with that skill set and not play him. He's there for a reason.
How many times have we said that?
I'm certain.
Gary Graham's getting games. He's picked him in the squad. Why would he pick Gary Graham in the squad if he's not going to play
him? Thing is, Mark Atkinson's not even dual qualified.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a good point.
You know, there's no this must be an actual rugby reason that he's in there.
I'd be surprised if he gets more than a little bit of game time off the bench. Because I think Marcus Smith is going to be the starting 10.
Yep.
And Owen Farrell is the captain, so he'll be the starting 12.
Agreed, probably.
So I just find it hard to see how Atkinson fits in unless there's an injury. If there's an injury, he'd be might be the first off the bench because I think he most closely resembles Farrell when he plays 12.
All right,
do you think?
More than anyone else in the squad.
Yeah, I don't think he resembles anyone that they've had for decades almost. I mean, who gets their hands free better than him? You know, who is that? He's more of a... I guess he's a sort of more of a lightweight Sonny Bill, but he's not that either. Because he's probably a better distributor.
Yeah, because he can play 10. Yeah, he has played 10 in the past.
He's another right boot, so he doesn't give the left-right option, but that's not, you know, the end of the world.
I love Mark Atkinson, friend of the pod, been on the programme before as Phil standing. Mm, your standing could have been... how many other England... So who stood in for Phil on the pod? We've had Ed Slater stepping in, Mark Atkinson, Tom Brady...
Carl Ferns?
Tom Cruise. Carl Ferns.
Did Beaumont stay down here for a little while? Or did he shoot?
I don't know.
I can't remember him.
No, I think he shot. I think he left before we started talking.
Yeah.
Byron
McGuigan. So you've had a Scotland international as your stand-in, and it's about time we had an England international.
Absolutely.
But what I was going to say was, love Mark Atkinson, and I'm really, really pleased for him. There's a chasm between Premiership and international. As good as the Premiership is, the gap is massive.
It is. I think he'll be all right. I think if you're going to make that jump, being a seasoned and senior professional at your club is probably a good place to start. He's certainly earned a shot at it.
It's a great story as well from Bedford.
From Sedgley Park.
Sedgley Park, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, St Andrews College doesn't quite make it at Sale Sharks. Down to Sedgley Park, over to Bedford. Again, basically Gloucester picked him up out of nothing, really. Sorry, he did Sharks to Wasps. Wasps is where it sort of fell down.
Did he not do Esher as well?
Perhaps. Hmm. Yeah, but there's many, many stops on this little journey.
If he gets an England cap, it's proper Roy of the Rovers type stuff. It's a really good story.
Mm. Yeah. So
the team, yeah. Should we quickly pick a team?
Yeah, so it'll be...
From one?
Going Genge. Upwards. It'll be Genge.
Do you reckon again?
Oh, no, Marla. Marla will start.
Genge off the bench.
Hooker, no Cowan Dickey, is so there? No Cowan Dickey.
And Jamie George isn't in there either.
Well, he is now.
He got called.
Called up after the injury.
After 23 hours in the wilderness or whatever it was. Yeah.
And I think could be in line to start.
He could go
straight into start.
Otherwise, it's Blamire. Maybe not.
Not likely. Not for me.
And Dolly.
Dolly!
Which, what a story that is.
Go for it.
Dolly's another good story, yeah. A little bit younger than
another player who started at Sale.
Tell you what,
been around the houses.
Some people at Leicester deserve an awful lot of credit for the way that they've recruited and the systems and processes to get here. Because picking up Nick Dolly is great business. Absolutely
very good business.
Fantastic business.
Yes. Yeah. probably Jamie George then. Go straight in.
Yeah.
And tight head. Sinks.
Well, it will be Sinclair. An interesting one. An email. contacteggchases@gmail.com. Edmund Levin got in touch. And I love that people have got this now. We're not going to read out any fawning or compliments.
So it's crass, isn't it?
So they all say, and this is perfect, we get emails that start like, love the pod, big fan, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
he says, do you not think Dan Cole is still the best tight head in England?
That's a really interesting email. I read that and I thought, yeah, you might have a point, actually.
He had a good game today.
Yeah.
I think, so it's interesting because his scrummaging was the thing that he did because his work rate, well, it was greater than non-existent, but he was always spoilt by the number of penalties he gave away. But then I can't help but think his reputation for me has been totally marred by the World Cup final, where he came on after 4 minutes and got absolutely pumped.
Yeah.
Styles
the whole scrum got pumped.
Yeah, but Styles make matchups. Dan Cole can handle himself in 95% of scrums. Just one scrum just wasn't for him.
For 76 minutes in a World Cup final.
Now, I think Carl Sinclair is outstanding and I love his handling. But I actually think it's one area where England a little bit light. I'm a little bit of a concern. And tight head prop is massively important.
And there's not a huge amount of people that you could say, yeah, that's the next guy up. So
you've got guys coming through like Joe Hayes.
Yeah.
Joe Hayes, okay. Joe Hayes would be one.
Paul Hill, possibly, but
Paul Hill's more
25
loose.
He's
a tight prop, but he's very good in the loose.
He's the lad at Saints.
Paul Hill.
Paul Hill. No,
Ethan.
Aaron Painter.
Aaron Painter, that's the one.
He's massive.
Yeah.
But he
again,
might not
could be in a few years' time. Yeah. Like, Joe Hayes could be in a few years' time.
There's a lad at Sale who's brilliant. I can't remember his name at the moment. Young lad, very, very strong. And there is
Parkinson, is it?
Stewart. What's his name? Will Stewart.
Will Stewart.
Will Stewart. Will Stewart's a brilliant player.
I do really like Will Stewart. Even though he's playing in that Bath team.
Harry Williams has sort of gone right off the radar as well. So there are players around, but there's no one that's challenging Carl Sinclair enough for my liking right now.
No.
Yeah, Will Stewart, if he was playing in a better team, I think would be.
If any one of those props gets in contact with Savvy World, they'll be straight in the England team. That's what they need to do, isn't it?
So Sinks will be starting in the row.
Marrow and
Johnny Hill.
With
Courtney
at six.
Yeah,
or some people will go Courtney in the row.
Problem with Johnny Hill, I think people have got questions about him. I don't have these questions. I think Johnny Hill is a great player and he's a big bloke as well. And you know, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, he's your left foot kicking option.
Exactly right. Exactly right. He's what you want from a tight head lock, if such a thing exists. Perfect partner for Mario. But I wonder if England prefer somebody, and this sounds insane, but someone more like a Yules. Someone who's just a little bit more a system guy. Because Johnny Hill can occasionally go a bit rogue.
I seem to think that the shirt is Johnny Hill's at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
From the Six Nations, and he was called up to the Lions.
Time last year, and one person we should not forget about, he's not fit at the moment, but this time last year, England's best player was Joe Launchbury.
Yes.
Yeah, Launchbury's such a good player.
I think they're missing Cruz. I mean, they're really missing Cruz. They can't replace that. Well, they haven't replaced him yet.
Yeah.
We only realised how good he was when he went.
Disappeared. Now, what is his situation? Is he in Japan?
He's in Japan.
He's got his second season in Japan. And I think his thought is he could come back with the World Cup in mind.
So I heard a while back that Leicester was sniffing around him. Then that sort of died down. I'm sure a Premiership club would love to have George Cruz.
Do you know how old he is?
32?
31.
There's loads of time left.
Tons of time.
Yeah. You could get two more World Cups in.
Minimum. Like, minimum.
Legitimately, Simon Shaw played in World Cup at, 40, 30, 38, 39?
Big strong lock. Why not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope he comes back sooner rather than later. After he fills up his bank accounts, then he can come back.
Yeah. Massive payday. Yeah. I mean, a bit more South African farmland, perhaps.
Yeah, that would
be couple
helpful.
Of houses in St. Albans.
What are the other England second row options?
Yules and that's it, isn't it?
Unless you're going to consider
George Martin.
Which I don't think so.
But
yeah.
I think George Martin is the obvious replacement for Courtney Laws at some point. I don't, or Itoje, one of those two.
Yeah.
But he's not the replacement for George Cruz or Johnny Hill.
Correct. Yeah.
So I think it'll be Launchbury and Johnny Hill will be punching out for that jersey.
I bet you Yules does it.
I think it'll be Itoje and Johnny Hill.
Itoje and
I would have Laws at six, Curry at seven, and
eight.
It's such a tough call. I'd probably go Dom Brandt at eight. I love the way he reads the game. He's got X Factor. Sam Simmons has got X Factor in his own way, but international level, those magic moments when you need something, I would go Dom Brandt.
His magic moments come against, defences which aren't that tight.
Well, I would take you back a few years when Alex Donbrandt came straight from Cardiff Met University and was not in Premiership shape and still managed to defy that and step straight in and go. And I think he's one of those players, because his brain works so fast, he can, whatever level he's playing at, he can do it.
He's wonderful.
Because he's got the mind. And all players are physically incredible at international level. But what separates the great players from average players is the top 2 inches.
Yeah, I have no doubt he can identify space. But what my question is what happens when there is no space to identify? What does he do then? So a few weeks ago up at the AJ Bell, he was pretty quiet, and I think that's because Sale just gave him no space. Mm-hmm. And I don't imagine South Africa will give him much space, or whoever England are playing. So I give him a go, because you know, unless you try him, you'll never know. So give him a go, by all means. Not sure that would be the guy I picked if my
would you
life
go,
depended.
Would you go Big Court 6?
Yeah, 100%.
Would you go Big Court 6?
Yeah.
Would you go Tom Curry 7?
Tom Curry in my back row, definitely.
Because I can actually see Tom Curry at 8.
Yeah, I'm
seeing
that.
With Underhill, or even a left field call that I've been saying for a few years, Sam Simmons starting at 7.
Sam Simmons starting? Yeah, okay, because you did it a few years ago.
Yeah.
I think if they both play, Sam Simmons goes to 8. Obviously, there's no Ben Earl. I think he'd be an obvious choice at the moment.
He's awesome.
Yep, yeah, but he's not around.
But he has the same problem as Sam Simmons, where as an international number 8, he's fairly lightweight.
Mm.
There are a few, I mean, both Sam Simmons and Ben Earl are in that 100 to 105 kg mark, which is a good 10 kg lighter.
So you're thinking Laws, Underhill, Curry?
I'm thinking that's probably what I would do.
Yeah, Underhill is looking good again, though. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not won a game yet, but...
but he's been the best player in that losing side.
Yeah, so the thing about Bath...
Consistently.
And I'll say more things about Bath later. But they all individually play quite well. So you watch Sam Underhill play at the moment, he's playing really well. Problem is, they don't really play as a team. They're 15 very, very good individuals. I could see Sam Underhill getting back in the England team and being awesome. Again, he's not the biggest bloke, though, is he?
He's not,
No.
Yeah, at 7, there is a difference between an international 7... If you look at the average size of an international 7 compared to the average size of an international 8, Underhill is the average size of an international 7. Mm. He is not the average size of an international 8.
But then the problem comes, again, it's the balance thing. If you're going to give away weights with Itoji and Laws, I mean, they're not small blokes by any stretch, and then Tom Curry, and then Sam Underhill, you're not having the biggest pack.
I'm not sure. Tom Curry depends where he's playing. Tom Curry at 8 might be giving away a few kg. Tom Curry at 7 is not.
Yeah,
he's not giving
away again.
Yeah, he is not giving away any weight.
So just, I think they need one more big body. One more. You know, if they had a big 6'4" number 8 who could run the 100 and sub 10, I think they'd take him. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Billy Vunipola is playing amazingly at the moment. He's working so hard as well, which has occasionally been a criticism of his fitness. Looks amazing. He's running over people for fun. He's creating holes left, right and centre. He's scoring tries. It's hard to imagine that this England team will keep going for much longer without him, but Eddie is also incredibly stubborn.
Yeah, where do they get their carrying from? I don't see where they get their carrying from.
Big Courts has developed as a massive carrier.
Well, he's a very good carrier, but he's a different type of carrier.
He's not
using his feet a lot. But you just need to...
Well, does he start Genge then? Because
Genge is
a really good carrier.
Genge and Sinks can carry for you.
And maybe that puts someone like Dolly in the mix as well, because that boy can carry.
Yeah, he's explosive, very explosive.
Which is why Cowan Dickey's a big loss, because he's one of your big carrying options.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so crystal clear in the pack.
Yeah.
Back line.
I have no idea. Ben Youngs.
Raf de Quirk.
I can't...
Hand in the reins. He's going to go Ben Youngs.
Yeah. I can't see him not going Ben Youngs, but if Raf was fit, I would go Raf.
Yeah, I'd love to see him play. I'd love to see him play, but...
10, it's got Marcus Smith.
I think he will... I've thought this since the Six Nations... I'm sure he will go for Marcus Smith with Owen Farrell at 12.
Wild is going to happen this Autumn International. And when I say wild, I mean it in the same way that it went wild with Cipriani. So they've got this talent on the bench. And the greatest travesty about Cipriani is he was hardly ever used in that way. They brought him on at fullback. They brought him on at all sorts of weird positions. They need just to stick with someone. And you know, if they're a 10, play him at 10. If they're a 12, play him at 12. I can see either Atkinson or Smith been used in some weird way, like coming on at fullback or outside centre. Yeah. Or
Johnny Wilkinson got brought on the wing and centre a little bit when he first came in.
Exactly. I can just see this going horribly wrong for somebody. And then they go, oh, well, he couldn't play fullback too well. You're not coming back.
So I hope that doesn't happen.
No.
Because Marcus Smith is... He should be the starting 10.
Yeah, I think
but equally, I think Owen Farrell should be the starting 12.
Question mark again, it's blend. It's like the back row. It's... 10, 12, 13, it's what blend do you go for? Because I would go Smith, Farrell, and I'd probably still go Smith, Farrell, Slade. But a lot of people want Tuilagi.
Yeah. It's hard to, when you've got the power and the potential of Tuilagi, it's hard to turn it down. He's the forbidden fruit. You just can't, if he's there and he's fit, you can't not play him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing okay for Sale at the moment. I watched him this weekend. I didn't think he was outstanding. He made two enormous hits on unsuspecting players, but that was kind of it, really. he's very, very good. And you're paying him for what he has, for what he has been and what he might do again. But I don't know if it's enough to just put him straight in the England team.
Yeah, I would probably go Slade. So Smith, Farrell, Slade. But I can understand having Tuilagi, particularly because I think the back three, you're going to have Max Malin's definitely going to play. Just his form. His form is so good. And he's an extra boot. He's an extra pair of distributing hands. I think Johnny May will probably play because he's been so good. And then it's whether you play Malins at fullback
or Stewart with Malins on the wing.
Radwan on the wing. Oh, go out and out.
Okay, pace. Anthony Watson's out.
But none of those are particularly big blokes. Stewart is very tall, but he's not exactly punching holes like George North in his prime or Julian Surveyor or Thokunasinghe or someone like that. So I wonder if Manu is. He also does some of the carrying that Billy Vunipola could have done. So he gives you the carrying option.
Like the Benteo style.
By having Manu on the pitch.
Yeah, so the idea of Smith, Farrell and Slade is very passy, isn't it? But who are they passing to? What's the end product here? Slade's a great runner, so I'm not bothered
about
him.
Slade is a lovely runner.
Knoll seems to be a guy who I think would be the man they need to be busy. And that's, you know, he's the guy who gives you your end product. Stewart at fullback.
Problem is, Knoll's not in the squad.
Is he not?
No.
That's insane. I didn't even realise that. And, you know, Malins and Stewart combined, I think, are awesome just for, you know, your backfield.
Cocker's Law, who'd you drop if you brought in Knoll? There you go, see?
Dan Cole. Dan Cole in the squad?
Ben Youngs. Get rid of Ben Youngs.
Yeah, Ben Youngs gone.
Fair enough. You should answer the question.
Who'd be your back three, Tim?
It would be, yeah, you're right. We maybe lack a big body with Manu. I want Freddie Stewart at fullback.
Okay. Yeah.
And much like Alex Donbrandt, I just think he's got the qualities of an international player, and I don't really care about the experience on that front because Alex Donbrandt's top 2 inches work brilliantly. Freddie Stewart is just safe as houses, so I want him, and I would go Johnny May and Malins.
Yeah, it's Malins or Radwan.
Yeah.
Radwan's so exciting.
I mean, watching Freddie Stewart this weekend, it was like the second coming of Israel Folau. I mean, I honestly think he's that. I mean, he's not got the attacking
explosive
game of Israel
Folau,
but the way he catches the ball in the air is Israel Folau-esque, which is the highest compliment they can pay someone.
And as someone who always loved Mike Brown, I loved having Mike Brown at fullback. Because, yes, we had quicker players, we had steppier players, but we didn't have better defensive players, and he was a rock.
He was a rock, but Mike Brown in his pomp would always beat the first man.
That's true.
He was so good. He'd read the defensive run and then just know where to go to create space for himself.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We've had our say. We'll see about that. As for Wales, what hope Wales against New Zealand then, who absolutely pumped America. A bit embarrassing when it's that one-sided, isn't it?
It wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah, look, it wasn't enjoyable. And there's been a bit of back and forth on Twitter. It shouldn't have been allowed to happen. Who's learned anything from this? To which I reply, I don't think it's always about learning. It's not always a dull classroom lesson.
What, it's not about taking your learnings,
yeah,
Jay?
No, it's not. It's not. Sometimes you just play it for the sake of it. Because those American lads, yeah, they got beat by 100 points. But at least they got to play the All Blacks.
It would have been maybe... 10-point gap if AJ had been playing.
Yeah, obviously. I'd say so. He'd keep it within a score, I'd say. Yeah. There's a lot of kicking, isn't it? What's that, like 30-something kicks? So
it was the fastest try the All Blacks have ever scored.
Was it?
29 seconds in. They go down the left wing.
I will tell you this, though. Barstool Sport have taken a real interest in the USA team. Mm. So I've seen a few tweets from their main account One, noting that the USA players all play in America, and that's truly amazing.
That is
that's really cool.
Well, that is because
they didn't have access to them.
Yeah, it was outside of the player release window.
I think AJ was going to go regardless. And the reason I say that is because when Sanderson was asked, what does the injury to AJ mean for you guys? He said, well, it didn't matter because we wouldn't have had him anyway. So it's same for Sale. So I've got a feeling he was due to play.
Okay. I'd be surprised if they let him go.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right, but that's what Sanderson said. So
my guess is it's a longer weekend, longer injury, i.e. he's going to miss the next month, and therefore...
Right. Yeah,
they would have had him this week, but not for the remainder of the month.
Yeah, because they've missed their players who play in Europe.
Yeah.
But Barstool Sport likes it. If Barstool Sports...
Let's get on to Barstool Sports.
Exactly. If they're talking about USA Rugby, that's pretty cool. And they also showed
more than 10% of our audience is stateside.
About that, yeah.
And we mainly talk about the Premiership.
Yeah. Mm. And if we had Barstool Sports' entire audience to our audience, what, that'd be an extra 5% to our listening figures. I mean, that's a big jump. That doesn't come from nowhere.
Right, let's get on to Dave Portnoy.
Yeah.
Dave, call us. This is a come and get us plea. Yes.
Japan also played Australia.
And lost.
They did. And I think they came back into it with a couple of tries in the second half, but it looked like it was always Australia's game.
Yeah. Australia have won 5 on the bounce now, haven't they?
I don't know. It's just coming for the JB Cup.
I've got no. I don't know where the staff have gone for the JB Cup. I don't know if they all died of COVID or what.
As for other bits of news, have you seen the rumour bubbling around today that James Dyson might be poised to buy Bath off Bruce Craig?
Really?
Yeah.
That has been the rumour for a long time, though, hasn't it? They've always assumed that if Bruce Craig does something and goes somewhere, that James Dyson will just step in and buy
Bath. Because he's the fourth richest
man in the
UK.
I mean, he's wealthy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I hope so. It'd be nice. Why not?
Hmm.
Steve Lansdowne, billionaire in Bristol, and James Dyson, billionaire in Bath. That'd be a very interesting time.
And they can only spend a certain amount. It must be killing them not being able to spend any more than that. Absolutely killing them.
Well, Bath needs someone to get the ground sorted.
And it's quite funny, isn't it? Because the more money they want to spend and the less they can spend on players, the more they've got to spend it on superfluous stuff like our training ground's a stately home. We've built a new one. It's bigger. We've written love on the wall of ours. And then they pay their coaches God knows how much, and they buy lots of coaches.
Can I just mention, before we get into the Premiership, that Ulster lost to Connacht. There were some actually interesting games in the Ultimate Fighting Rugby Championship this weekend.
Tell me about them. Tell me all about them.
Well, Leinster are the only unbeaten team now.
Yeah.
So excellent. There's an element where teams are beating each other,
which is
one of the issues. And the Munster lost to...
Ospreys away.
Ospreys. Oh, no, they drew. No, they lost.
Lost 18-10.
And Ulster were beaten by Connacht. So maybe there's some... The issue that I've had, there's some green shoots bubbling through. The only difficulty is I can't watch any of the games.
Why?
Not got Premier Sport?
I haven't got Premier Sport.
I've got Premier Sport. You can pop around and reduce my average spend per game.
Some of the games are on BBC as well.
In Welsh?
Or maybe.
In like BBC Northern Ireland, that sort of thing?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah.
All right. BBC Two Wales, right.
We've got an actual Welsh fan here.
Lovely. Lovely.
Someone who watches it. You watch a URCD.
And there Psychopath. Are some green shoots for the Welsh regions. It's still a snake pit and not great, but there's a couple of wins in there.
Ospreys are 4 out of 5. Yeah.
So I'm in regular communication with an Ospreys fan, and they seem to be really quite happy. Now, I'm not sure Ospreys themselves will be that happy with their squad, per se. They've got 15 amazing players, and then the rest of it is not so good.
But yeah, they'll have to rely on for the next month.
Yeah, yes. This is when it's going to get tasty for Ospreys. But yeah, so it seems rather good.
Mm.
Encouraging, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Toby Booth is a very good operator. If I'm going to be serious about it, yeah, Toby Booth is a very good operator. Mm. Not sure Cardiff bringing back Dai Young is the greatest idea, though.
Well, bringing back Dai Young so they can get Thomas Young.
Thomas Young.
Well, maybe there's something in that
one,
then.
One player.
Yeah, one player. Crikey. Well, if you're going to do that, go get Mike Ford.
Didn't Cardiff beat your beloved Benetton this weekend?
God, no. Yeah, they did.
Well played, Connacht, because it was a good win. They were the better team, and they put Ulster under all sorts of pressure.
I did look down the lineups.
Just highlights.
I looked down the lineups of the Irish provinces when I saw that Munster had been beaten. I looked. No, it's a legit Munster team.
Wow. Yeah, Ulster team.
No, Munster and Ulster both lost.
I was thinking, oh, it's just before international window. I wonder if they're dropping all their international players.
Have you heard the story that somebody is suing somebody else over Munster? Have you heard this? So I think I've read this story this morning that two of the ex-players are going to sue the Irish Times over rumours of how they left. So someone's... Who are they suing? Why don't I actually just look at, why don't I just look at the story and then I'll tell you. It's quite interesting.
Phil's like Jamie off the Joe Rogan podcast. He's normally already on it and got a link up.
I'm not sure there's enough that JB said that I can even Google
that.
Munster, someone's being sued, so something's happening.
Two of the coaches left. One is Flannery, and I want to say the other one is Felix Jones, maybe. I don't even know if he was a coach there. But those are the... So, let me find it. Blah, 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 blah. Rugby stars tackle Irish Times. Former Munster player Joey Flannery and Felix Jones have launched defamation proceedings against the Irish Times over an article by former Leinster coach Matt Williams that wrongly said they were forced out of their coaching jobs in 2019. There you go.
Okay.
So that's quite an interesting little tidbit.
Is it going to be hard for Jerry Flannery to argue loss of earnings or anything or reputation because he went to Quinns and won the league?
Yeah, I don't think that's what they're arguing. I think what they're saying is Munster offered them contracts, but they both decided to leave. So, and... Yeah.
Fair enough. If they got it wrong, and they didn't do a retraction, too right. Yes. Can I just say, we were saying I can't watch Premier Sports. I also didn't watch Friday Night Premiership or Saturday Live.
What's your excuse for Friday?
What is my excuse for Friday?
This is...
Oh, I was at a friend's birthday party.
On a yacht. Classic. Classic media types.
In Chorlton. Good knees up. So I was at a party on Friday night.
Can I tell you a weird little story about Chorlton? How weird it is.
Yeah. Right here. No. I'm going to finish what I'm saying. Remember that. We'll come to that. So I was going to say, I didn't watch the game live. I've caught up on catch up watching. But I'm just going to say, there's a lot been said over recent weeks, and we've even covered it, about there being no highlights programme on Channel 5.
Yeah.
Can I just say, the 1 hour before the Sunday match is absolutely brilliant. It's all you need.
Yeah.
The 1 hour build up on BT Sport, it's absolutely perfect. I sat down at 2 o'clock, I had an hour, caught up with every single game, the big talking points, a bit of punditry, and I was ready for the match this afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you listen to last week's podcast, you'd think that I hate BT Sport, which is not actually true. I think the match day coverage is absolutely awesome. I'm right with you on the Sunday stuff. The Sunday stuff is normally pretty good. In fact, the stuff before the game is brilliant. And then the discussion afterwards is pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. So there you go. A lot said about the lack of highlights. Just tune in at 2 p.m. on a Sunday. It's great.
Did they manage to fit in all the Northampton tries?
No.
It's only an hour show, Phil.
We will get to that in a minute. Chorlton, go.
Yeah. So I went for a coffee with one of the school mums, Ovs.
Where is this going?
Yeah. And then we were joined by one of the...
This is a well-trodden storyline on Pornhub.
Mark that. Right, okay. And then we were joined by one of the school dads. Anyway, the school dad gets up, a 40-odd-year-old guy, looks exactly like you'd expect a 40-year-old Chorlton dad to look like.
He's been eating his keyboard.
No, a bit more daddish.
I'll take that as a compliment.
A bit more Chorlton dad.
Eating more quinoa and less CrossFit, presumably. Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Higher soy intake.
Yes.
Well, hang on. We've got to be careful what we say here, right? We've got to be careful. Perfectly nice.
Oh, yeah, no, that wasn't perfectly making... Nice that chat. Wasn't an aspersion you'd be anyway, cast on anyone.
He disappears, and the lady that I'm with goes, oh, yeah, he's a DJ. I think he goes by the name Mr. Scruff. Like what?
What?
Yeah. So
you were having coffee with Mr. Scruff.
Yeah. So he didn't have a coffee. He just came over to have a quick chat, and then disappeared.
He's awesome.
I seem to remember people in school listening to Mr. Scruff.
I had a Mr. Scruff album.
Did you?
Yeah. I went to a night in Manchester when I first moved here. That was Mr. Scruff was playing, and I remember he used to sell mugs and cut and. People having cups of tea at some of his gigs, I seem to remember.
Chorlton has quite a few musicians knocking about.
Oh, loads.
Yeah. So
Doves live in Chorlton. Badly Drawn Boy. I often see him buying red wine in the co-op.
So I wouldn't know what these people are. Or who they are.
Elbow. one of the, well, the, all of Elbow used to live in, most of Elbow used to live in Chorlton, but one of them still does and takes his kid to the primary school that my kids used to go to.
The Bee Gees. So,
the Bee Gees lived on Keppel Road, round the corner.
So I'm not going to tell you who this was. I'm not going to tell you who walked in on them or who the, you know, or the member of the band or who the band was. I know someone who went to view a house. The owner of the house didn't know that the estate agent had arranged a viewing. Gave her the keys. She goes in, and then on the table, they were doing some. What can I say? They were doing.
They were
mind altering party drugs. Okay. Over the table. Oh, I'll just sweep that away. I'll just sweep that up, and then disappeared.
Was this on like a Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah, Tuesday morning.
Well, this sounds unbelievably showbiz, right? But at the end of my street, just when you get near the park, Simon Rimmer's house is the nicest house.
Nicest
house. It's like by a mile the nicest house near anyway. So TV chef Simon Rimmer lives there. The person that used to live there was Mike Pickering, who's the music producer mogul.
Oh right,
type.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the rumor goes, Madonna was part of a session that happened there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah,
that is cool. Yeah. Terrace of Chorlton, eh?
I know.
Wow.
Nothing to do with rugby, mind you. Well, it started with rugby, but...
Was the rugby link to all this?
I can't remember. Oh, you asked me what I was doing Friday night.
Oh, yeah. And you were with Madonna. That's incredible. Yeah.
Saturday, I played my first game since that Vets game of the year.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. But let's talk about Friday night. Let's talk about what we saw on Friday night.
Oh, Worcester.
I know you're very defensive of Worcester.
After I watched him play.
And what Jonathan Thomas, he's got a massive challenge. They are substandard. They're not worthy of being a Premiership team on the basis of what we've seen so far.
So I've taken an active interest in Worcester just because I want to understand what goes on there, you know, and how do they dig themselves out of this hole. I've also been paying a lot of attention to what Jonathan Thomas is saying and what he's trying to achieve because, you know, they are not a Premiership standard team. I don't mean that in standard of their players. Their players look like they could put together a Premiership standard performance if they wanted to. They don't look like they want to. They look like they couldn't care less, actually. So the Jonathan Thomas approach, from what I can tell, is all about fitness. That is his primary drive. And also he's instilled what he calls the warrior mindset. I think he's going to have to bin that. It's embarrassing. If you're going to say your team has a warrior mindset, and it's a little pun on words, and you know, and you play like that, you need to bin that and start again. Bury it.
Do you remember... Do you know where the word decimated comes from?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Go on then.
So decimated actually isn't that bad. Decimated would be you only got rid of 10% of your weakest troops.
Oh, it's 1 in 10, isn't
it? Not weakest troops. If you lost a battle...
Go on.
Then of every 100 men, or every 10 men, one of them would just get killed. The theory being that I don't think they actually... Did they pick out the weakest member and
kill them? It makes sense to.
Yeah, well, I suppose it would.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do.
Some kind of combine.
I think it was random.
Didn't they? And if it was a Blackstone.
Yeah, I think it was random. I think it was random. Basically, the theory being, just you need to fear losing that much, otherwise one in ten of you is going to get killed.
Yeah. So what I saw on Friday night was pretty much a Premiership team playing level 8 rugby. That's what I saw. They don't trust each other in defence, which is abysmal. Some of the lineouts just looked amateurish. The whole thing is dreadful, actually. Now, when you've got good players, and they do have some good players, occasionally you can string together, a try.
Or they're missing their 9 and 10 as well, for example.
Yeah, but Chudley's there for a reason. Chudley's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Finn Smith's the future. They will miss Owen Williams a tremendous amount. I think a lot of stuff is built around Owen Williams. Same for any team. If they lose their starting 10, it's going to be difficult. But even more so for them, because there's a huge drop off between. Owen Williams, and then Searle, and then Finn Smith, and underneath Searle. So it's going to be very difficult for them. But they can play better than this.
They're also missing their captain, but none
and
of those...
And Ollie Lawrence.
Yeah, but none of those feel like sufficient reasons for them to capitulate in the way that they did.
Yeah.
And like that first try...
They gave
the tap and go from Bigger, that is just... It's like you talk about do the things that take no effort.
Yep.
That doesn't even take any effort. That's just switching.
All he's
just
stand there and look interested, and Dan Bigger doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Dan Bigger's not going to run into you if you're looking interested.
You don't even need to do it. You just need to be facing the right direction.
Yeah, normally Dan Bigger quick thinking is him doing a kick cross field or something. He doesn't. He's not the sort of player. I love Dan Biggar.
Crack the ball.
But he's not the sort of player that's going to go, oh, I'm going to quick tap and go myself.
Yeah. Unless you are facing the wrong direction. You're not even...
In fact, I'm going to go one further. That isn't even level 8. That's junior rugby. You know, you face your opposition. How easy is that? And it doesn't matter how much conditioning Jonathan Thomas is doing, and David Drake, not David Duke, before anyone says anything. You can't work hard if, A, you're giving away penalties, B, you're missing tackles and they're scoring because you're going to be stood in your post, or you can't hold on to the ball. So you need some sort of basic ability to play rugby as a team in order to work hard. You can't demonstrate how fit you are if you're missing tackles, if you're not square and connected, if you're any of these things.
Well, you're just doing shuttle runs to the underneath your sticks. Yeah. That's how they're demonstrating fitness.
And we've all played in teams when the atmosphere is not right, there's chemistry that's wrong, there's a couple of rotten apples in the squad. And when you play in teams like that, that's... I'm not suggesting this is what's happening. Mm. All I'm saying is when you see those sorts of incidents happen, which we did on Friday night, it makes you raise questions about how is that squad.
I think, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think they do not believe Jonathan Thomas is going to be around long enough to sack them. And therefore, why should they bother playing? So, Alan Solomons is still there. Can you believe Alan Solomons is still there?
Mm.
He's still director of rugby.
So he's DOR with JT as head
coach. Exactly he does on a day-to-day. I mean, he must be doing something, presumably. Yeah. But JT does all of the bits and pieces. I don't know what was to do here. The obvious thing is to sack Jonathan Thomas. In my mind, they've got to make that decision now. So he either goes now, or you back him. And I'd go with back him. But they've got to do one of those two things.
Yes. I would go with back him. There is something on the squad that... Obviously, they've brought in two Lions over the summer, Van der Merwe, Duane and Rory Sutherland. They will be on big money.
Yeah.
They will be on huge money compared to pretty much the whole of the rest of the squad, including their two England players, or at least their captain and Ollie Lawrence. That can't be good for a squad, having that disparity brought into a squad.
At Worcester, which has had instability and change of ownership and stuff like that. Yeah, so, that's an interesting point.
So I reported the other day...
That's an interesting point, that.
And I was wrong, but I reported that Chris Ashton and Matt Garvey were suspended by Worcester last week. Matt Garvey, definitely not suspended. Chris Ashton, Worcester won't even give you an answer. Like, no one... They've seen some closed ranks on this, but he's unavailable for selection. So there's clearly some... disquiet there.
He will also be... They'll have a big chunk of their playing budget on two wingers, one of whom is not playing.
Yeah. I mean, why do you need a winger? Why do you need a winger? An agricultural big winger like Van der Merwe. Who okayed this signing? I think it's a crazy signing. When you could get a couple more second rows, a couple more back rows.
Or you could have kept Nick David.
Yeah, exactly. You could do that.
Yeah. For about a fifth of the money.
Yeah, although he did go for pay cut to Quinns.
Okay, so a tenth of the money then.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we'll pay you less. If you stay, we'll pay you even less.
He went to Quinns because he wanted to play fullback. And they
wouldn't guarantee him the spot. Well, it seems a bit pretty stupid now.
Well, presumably Quinns haven't guaranteed him a spot because he's going to have to fight hard to get into that back three.
Yeah, they're also missing Nanai. He's a big player for them. Look, everyone's missing players all the time.
Let's flip the script a little bit and say Northampton are looking really good.
Cool, aren't they? Yeah.
Very cool team.
Cool. Yeah. Lots of options in different places.
And a little plug for myself. I interviewed Chris Boyd on Rugby Dungeon this week. Mm. So you can get inside his mind a little bit about being a DOR. Yeah, they look like a very, very well-balanced team. They need a little bit more up front, would be my thing. I don't know how the bench went, actually, because I turned it
only
off.
Only front row, not really. They've got a big pack. It's only for, like, they've always had an issue scrummaging. There's a prop here or there, and they're kind of there, aren't they?
They just need their two young English tight heads to get a bit more experience, a bit more time.
I mean, Paul Hill
and Aaron Painter
is very good. I don't think he's kicked on as far as he should have by now.
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree. What is he, 25 now?
Yeah, I thought he's going to be an England starter at one point. They picked him up from Leeds Carnegie. He's going to be the absolute boy. Very good in the loose, though. Probably one of the better tight heads in the entire competition in the loose. But the scrum just needs to be a little bit more solid. Mm. But everything in the set piece just needs to be a
I love their
solid.
Locks and flankers.
Well, the flankers, well, Courtney's obviously the leading one there.
Dave Ribbons, Ratuni Yarara Moon, and... Yeah. I can't remember the other one.
They're pretty good.
Very good.
But, you know, when you look at the...
Really good and just below international standard.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, I really like Tamon Harrison. I love the new number 8 they've got.
Augustus.
Augustus Juno. Is that his name?
Ludlow, brilliant, just below international.
Perfect. Yeah, like Ludlow, Harrison, and Laws, when they're all together, they're a nightmare.
Yeah. And now they've got Augustus as well. They've got that focal point number 8, which they've not really had since Pickamalls was there for that.
King Louis.
Do you know who would be the finishing touch for this? Not quite Nick Azikwe, but he was quite good from last year. George Cruis. Now that would be the
missing
piece.
That would be very nice.
You can never go wrong with an extra massive lock.
And Alex Mitchell scoring tries for fun.
Yeah.
How many did he get in the end?
Was it just two?
Two, and Freeman got a couple. Yeah. And the Schoser. Got a hat trick on debut.
Yeah,
he looked pretty decent too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, the back division looks great. It looks like a Chris Boyd team. They obviously practice a lot of skills. You know,
they seem to have hot streaks and cold streaks, don't they, that Northampton? It's just when they can actually... And what a game we've got in store next weekend against Tigers.
Yeah.
That's going to be so tasty.
I wish it's
games like that, and people will go, player welfare and stuff. It's games like that where I kind of wish you could just push the boundary a little bit further in terms of in terms of handbags. Just a little bit.
Like Manuel Ashton did.
Maybe not to that degree.
That was quite a far. There's a big step in the...
But people loved
beyond
it.
Beyond handbags.
People loved that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They did love it. But no, just a little bit, because there will be scuffles.
Mm.
But I it's going to be fun.
And we'll talk about scuffles later, because I really enjoyed Genge getting into it with Tom Curry. Those boys do not back down. They do not back down. And they love to chat. And Tom Curry loves getting involved in absolutely every scrap you can see.
But do you know what? I think on merit, Northampton were brilliant. We've talked about them. London Irish. Let's talk about them.
I did not see that coming.
No. Who did? It ruined my accumulator. It's the only result I got wrong all week.
Wow.
Do you know, I always look at the teams and I pick based on, you know, different units and then score the different units. So, like, would I have that front row, or would I have that front row, or second rows and whatnot. And if you pick the players on their merits, you might come to the conclusion that London Irish could win this. But this is what I've been saying about London Irish for ages. If you look at their players, there's not many games that they can't win. And I still think they're terribly coached. I still think some of their lineouts look absolutely shocking. But when their players actually play and put in a shift, they are very good. Very, very good.
They were much more organised this week. Their defence looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a cohesion thing. Maybe just need more time
more
together.
More time. But a lot of the back line have been playing together for 2-3 seasons now.
Mm.
The back line has been fairly settled for a while. And guys like... Parton, Loader, Hassel Collins, Curtis Rona, Paddy Jackson. They have played a lot of rugby together now.
Yeah, that is fair, actually. Now, if I look at the table, they are...
Talking to the mic.
So, there we are. Right. 8 points off fourth. I need them to finish fourth for my predictions to come true.
Well,
but my predictions are not coming true, because even if they come fourth, no one's moving Leicester Tigers from the top four.
I love Rob Baxter. I absolutely love Rob Baxter. Let me read his post-match comment, which I'm not sure many other DORs would talk like this. Anyway, he said, Rob Baxter said, quote, "We were lacking something. Rugby's a good game in a lot of ways, that you win the games you deserve to win and you lose the games you deserve to lose. That's exactly what it feels like now. It doesn't feel like a blood and guts loss. It feels like a pretty poor loss. Individually, our intensity was off. And because of that, our team intensity was off. So you get a result like that. It's clear right here and now that the consistency of our mental approach to the game is our biggest problem."
Yeah. I don't know how you fix that. I like his quote. I like the sentiment behind his quote. I don't like his diagnosis, because I don't know how you fix it.
Well, I think you don't necessarily need to fix it in games like this. You can afford, this Exeter team can afford to lose a few games like this at home or away. Earlier on in the season, and they've done it before. And Tim, you frequently point out that they had a terrible run when they won the Premiership for the first time early in the season. What is most important for them is, as it gets to the end game, to knockout rugby and European rugby, they've got to switch on. And they have proven over the past few seasons, many seasons, that they can do that. So I'm not I'm not worried about this. This game does not define their season.
There was no platitudes, no cliches, and no, we'll take our learnings. We just have to roll our sleeves up.
Yeah.
He's been very specific.
He is and he isn't. I mean, I just don't like the idea. It's just a mental thing. They'll look at that video and they go, this is where we got it wrong. And they'll have an actual rugby answer for it by tonight. Rob Baxter will have the rugby answer to his rugby problem.
The second try, Curtis Rona just plows through the Simmons boys. Yeah. He just hits a simple unders line off a rook, 5 metres out, and the Simmons boys just too soft in the tackle, and he flops over the line.
The other thing is...
The Ollie Hessel Collins try was just not picking up a man on the blind side.
And there was an... we might be talking about the same try here, but do you remember when... It was two seasons ago... Bristol changed the way they played. They were just playing it from everywhere. When they first got to the Premiership, and they were losing a few games. They were winning some as well, but they were losing a few games. And then the next season, last year, they tightened up a little bit and balanced a bit more where they play.
Yeah,
Stuart Hogg, incredible player. He was not playing percentages nearly enough, and he left them so exposed at times because he tried to run everything.
I wonder if he's under a little bit of pressure there, you know, because he's on so much money. He's expected to perform and win games on his own, as he should be expected to, actually, on the amount of money that he's on. It doesn't seem to be... I mean, he's obviously awesome, and he's scoring tries, and he's scoring some great tries. It's just not quite panning out for him, is my opinion.
He's a European champion, so I think he probably disagree with that.
Former European champion.
In the first 6 months.
And a Premiership champion.
Former Premiership champion. which is great. But he didn't start the Premiership semi-final, and I think that's
only one team can win every year. But yeah,
the final.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm not criticizing broadly speaking. I'm saying actually, if you say top 2 inches, it's crucial moments making a decision. Actually, sometimes sure, twat the ball up the other end of the pitch, and he didn't. And Irish scored. He ballsed it up. Irish turned it over. They scored
in the first 6 months that he played there when they won both Premiership and European. That was one of the things that I noted most about him was his, because he's got a very big boot, but his decision making at times, when to put his boot through the ball and execute like that. And it's back to that, the kind of the point I was making earlier around, in the scheme of this season, this game, even though it's a defeat at home without a bonus point at all, they didn't get a 4-try or losing bonus point, this probably doesn't matter. And when things do matter towards the end of the season, I think this Exeter team can still turn it on. Yeah. I've got every confidence in them.
Let me just talk for a couple of minutes about, or a couple of seconds, about micro Ian Whitten. Although, clearly, that's nonsense. Tom Hendrickson looks great.
Yeah,
And massive.
I was watching him going, no, he is just not.
He's not 6'4".
He's not smaller than Ian Whitten. I'm not having it.
He's definitely.
I'm not having it.
Farce, Phil.
Just because you guys can't measure things with your eyes.
Yeah, and you're basically a turn of the century carpenter. You can measure like 1/2 inches, 1/4 inches,
pretty much
8/16 or whatever it is.
Well, I mean, if you see Ian Whitten standing next to Tom Hendrickson, you'll know
there's no way.
Right, JB, you're on a mission. You're on a reconnaissance mission, Sandy Park, to pick them up and weigh them.
I'm going to weigh Tom Hendrickson.
Well, you need to weigh Tom Hendrickson and Ian Whitten.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. He's a monster. He's a legitimate monster. That try that he scored was rather special when they sort of... I don't know what happened. They were sort of dancing around and then... Slade
did an old-fashioned circle ball.
Yeah, was that what it was? I don't know.
Yeah, it was. That was the Hogg try, wasn't it?
Yes,
offloads
that's right.
Inside to Hogg.
Try. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
But well done, London Irish.
Amazing.
I didn't think they'd have a win like that away from Brentford. I thought they would have lots of wins like that this season at Brentford.
And it's the way it happened as well. So they score the two tries, go 14-0 up, and then Exeter score two tries, 14-all. And it's just the inevitable is going to happen. Exeter are going to just grind out another win. And they didn't. London Irish, at the first half of that second half, they scored three unanswered tries until the Jack Noel right at the end. And they were the better team. And they did... But they did bad things as well, but still got away with it. So early in the second half, they had a kickable penalty. They went for the corner. They missed the line out. They didn't hit their jumper. Exeter win it, make it safe. Exeter clearance is poor. So Irish get another shot, and that led to, I can't remember which one, might have been the Ben Loader try. Mm-hmm. because they got away with it, because they put the pressure on, even though they weren't 100% for the full game.
Paddy Jackson is very good at rugby.
He is very good at rugby. There's no tweet about that.
And who was the young lad, the seven, that on debut for Irish? Looked awesome.
Yeah, Pearson.
Pearson, that's it.
22-year-old. Rogerson looks good.
Yeah, Rogerson is good.
I really like Goodridge Clark.
Yeah, he's a big old boy.
Tui Sui, did you see the Fiji squad announcement this week?
No.
He's in a lock.
He's in a lock, yeah. But the weird thing is they had like the weirdly specific player references.
Yes, they did.
So they had like lock slash back row.
Lock.
Back row slash eight. Centre slash half back.
They just know what they want. But they know exactly what they want.
Tui Sui being in as lock. I think I saved the picture. Let me see if I've got it here. It was a weird, because they had a like defined
just while you're looking
probably
at
20 positions because just, of the combination.
Just while you're looking for it, I'll say it. Joe Riley has emailed us contact@chasers@gmail.com. Joe of the Schoolies podcast. If you want to find out about the school experience of me, Phil, and JB, you can go and check out his podcast. But he emailed
and then vote which one's most exciting.
He's an Irish fan and he was at a wedding this weekend, so he didn't watch the game. Said he watched it on his phone with ever increasing euphoria. Please give the win against the Chiefs as much airtime as possible. We just talked about them and they earned that.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
They really earned it. So Tui Sui is down as a lock. Then you have back row slash lock, which Paseli Yato is back row slash lock.
How is he?
He is an absolute beast.
He is 6'5".
Is he?
Yeah. I think he's packed down in for lock for Claremont occasionally.
Has he really? Didn't know that.
Yeah, and Johnny Dyer.
Guy's like Tom Hendricks size.
he's actually Mark Atkinson size. Then you got fly half, center slash fly half, outright center slash wing outright, and wing fullback. Now, disappointingly, they didn't have Lavani Bottia as centre slash back row.
Oh, that was.
They missed a trick not doing that.
They really
that.
Did.
But this is it. They're only picking European based players and also European based coaches. So Rory Best is in the coaching team.
Is he?
Oh, I love it.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Because no one is travelling.
So two things can be true at once. I'm going to change the subject a little bit here. Firstly, I thought this week's Premiership was very predictable. I picked every home team to win. Every home team except for Exeter did win.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the table and it is a picture of unpredictability. If you look at that table now, I don't think anyone would have had that top four. And I don't think anyone would have picked the bottom two.
No.
It's, yeah. So I guess I'm saying this because the Exeter Chiefs results does not seem good, particularly because they've lost another two on top of that. But I think we're going to have to get used to what we perceive to be good teams starting to lose because the salary cap is really biting.
Mm.
You know, when Irish can put out a team which, you know, man for man is probably as good, if not better, than Exeter, occasionally they're going to win games. All of these teams outside of Worcester, man for man, are pretty good. I think Wasps are going to get a bit ropey as injuries kick in and whatnot.
Yeah, they're so unlucky. I mean, because I was thinking about this. Is something a Wasp doing something that means they're getting more injuries because they've got so many, but all their injuries seem to happen in games. so far as I can tell. And they're just bad. It's just bad luck.
It does seem it, but it's been a couple of seasons of bad luck. It feels like.
Well, they have a lighter squad than everyone else. They're much more comfortable bringing in lads from the Championship. They cope with injuries better than most teams. They assimilate players into their squad better than most teams.
Well, they're struggling to cope with injuries now.
They really are.
Yeah, but didn't they win last week?
No, they lost to Exeter. But they put up a good fight.
That's right, yeah, they beat Saints the week before that.
Yeah, so they've handed Saints their only loss, I think. You know, so they're playing well, and they did that with...
Well, you know, not so much today.
No, it's going to be difficult.
Although Saracens were excellent.
Saracens were really...
They are looking ominous.
It sounds silly to say this, but I did not think Saracens would be nearly this good. I really didn't.
You two were not predicting them top four, which just
I think I had them fifth.
Yeah, which just seemed crazy to me.
It is now.
And I see it now, but I think possibly... This sounds like it's taking something away when I don't mean it. I think Eddie Jones has done Saracens a massive favour because Vunipola boys are angry.
Yeah, Vunipola's Jamie George, Ben Earl, Ezekwe.
Yeah.
So Morrow goes, Owen goes, Malins goes.
And Angry Daly will be back soon as well. Yeah. He'll be angry as well.
Vincent Cock might go.
Yes, that's a good point. So when the England boys go, they're going to be missing four of their starters from today alone, plus Vincent Cock. That's when we'll see, you know, how good they are.
They beat Bristol first game of the season, missing 10 internationals.
Yes, they were, weren't they?
Yeah. I think this Saracens team will be all right.
So, Andy Christie played today. Know anything about him?
He looked good.
He looked all right, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was very nice at first receiver. Could play those little balls behind to Owen Farrell nicely. Ultimate Rugby, my favourite app.
Brian O'Driscoll's app.
Brian O'Driscoll's app. If I'm reading Andy Christie's full profile, how big is he?
6'4", 112 kgs.
112 kgs. Phil?
I'm going to say he's about Hendrickson size, so 6 foot.
Four. So bigger than Witten. So you're saying Andy Christie's bigger than Witten?
6 foot on the nose and 102 kg.
Well, he's listed at 6'1". 97 kilograms. So basically, exactly the same as me. Literally, same build, same size, same sort of great athlete.
can he play the breadth of positions that you can play?
Well, yes, actually he can, because he's listed as a scrum half. So yes is the answer.
Wow.
Basically, my 22-year-old rugby equivalent is Andy Christie.
I played 5 minutes of scrum half this weekend.
Easy, isn't it?
Yeah,
simple.
Easy. It's really easy.
Simple.
Just filled in while we had a man in the bin.
Yeah.
I played an auxiliary 8/9.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, that's what Fiji'd call you, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
All Rugby, I'm just looking for his weight. All Rugby, which is a website I've never used before, all.rugby. Andy Christie is a 22-year-old English rugby player standing at 0 metres tall and weighing in at 0 kg, which is no stone and no pounds.
That's like, where did I hear this? It's like ants. He's like an ant. Because you could, whatever height an ant falls from, they're so light that there'll be no impact when they land.
Their terminal velocity will be insufficient to do the main
insufficient
damage.
Insufficient to do the main damage.
Challenge accepted.
That's Andy Christie.
What if you weigh him down? Cover them with something heavy or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to...
That'd be a very intricate job to do it, but go for it. Give it a go.
Yeah.
Put some lead on its back.
Exactly. Right, so I'm going to tweet Andy Christie. I'm going to see if he comes back to me with an answer. Are these stats correct or not? And yeah, we'll find out.
Great.
And then we'll get him in the dungeon and you can weigh him. You can
yes,
lift him up.
Yes, there we go.
He can form an orderly queue behind Hendrickson and Ian Witten.
Well, this is how the official thing should be done. No one cares about the KGs. It should just be just like a ranking. JB... Just all the Premiership players turn up at the start of a season. JB picks them all up and puts them in order.
Exactly. Yeah, perfect.
Can I just say something about Saracens?
Yes, of course you can.
Obviously, Saracens were very, very good. I thought Farrell was brilliant today.
He was great.
And some of his passing, and I've said this before, some of his passing was so good that if it was Cipriano or Marcus Smith, people would be raving about it. But for some reason, because it's Owen Farrell, three-time Lions... 80-odd caps for England, current England captain, multiple Champions Cup winner, multiple league winner. For some reason, it just seems to get ignored. That pass for the... is one of the Malins tries, which was a little out the back, bought himself an extra 2 seconds, and he throws a perfect 30-yard miss pass. right into the path of Malins. It's absolutely brilliant, and no one's talking about it. His line for the Malins 1-2 for Malins, I think it was Malins' fourth try, was awesome. Hits the line perfectly. Little 1-2 with Malins. Again, it just seems to go under the radar.
The reactive flick off the deck before one of the tries, really instinctive. The ball bobbled out and he just flicked it off the deck beautifully. I totally agree.
Yeah. It just seems weird to me that some players get so much hype and some don't for basically,
had Marcus
basically
Smith done
doing
that.
The same
had Marcus Smith done that, thing. It would have been...
That's different though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's very different. Marcus Smith is a... You know, is an absolute treasure to behold. Owen Farrell's just a bit angry. Just a bit angry. Inconsistent. No, look, Owen Farrell's great. Owen Farrell is absolutely great. And I think he does play his best rugby for Saracens at fly half. I do think it's a mystery that they play him at 12. It just shows that... Sorry, they, being England, play him at 12. It just shows that England do really need a 12 option.
Not just as a rugby player, but as a bloke and a character in a squad. If he had to get sent to Worcester...
That's a reality TV show that Premiership Rugby need to make, isn't it? Owen Farrell goes to Worcester.
Fly half swap.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Fly half swap. What a great TV show.
I can't imagine. It is a great TV show. I can't imagine any team that Owen Farrell plays for. He just wouldn't accept standards.
So, yeah. Yeah, this is a great idea. Where would...
Let me just read an email before we continue, because this actually ties in with Will Pownall, who emailed us a couple of days ago, contactedchasers@gmail.com. He said, "Hi all, there's been a rise in popularity of behind-the-scenes sport documentaries in recent years. I wanted to get your thoughts on which team in Premiership Rugby you'd most like to see a season-long behind-the-scenes documentary on and why." So we can carry on with this conversation. Bath would be the answer there, but anyway, carry on.
Bath or Worcester?
But now I want to see this, Fly Half Swap.
Yeah. So would... I just think Owen Farrell, would he be sicker about what happens at Bath, or would he just never stop throwing up if he went to Worcester? I don't know how it would go down. I can imagine just being in a stunned silence for a whole day watching this stuff.
He'd be incredibly angry.
Yeah, incredibly, just seething with rage.
Yeah.
But that, in a positive way, that seems to rub off on people around him, and he, it's almost like he somehow has that character where people don't want to let him down.
Yeah, I don't know how it would go down. So, clubs that Owen Farrell could play for, and clubs that Owen Farrell couldn't play for, and maybe it's a scale.
He couldn't play for Irish.
Oh my God, no,
no,
no.
He would love Sale Sharks. I'm pretty sure.
Yes,
yeah.
Sale Sharks
and Leicester.
Leicester Tigers would be the other one.
Yeah, not Quins.
Not Saints.
Not. Oh my.
Oh,
God.
Maybe.
No, Saints are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
Exeter.
Yeah, in the middle.
He'd be fine at Exeter.
Yeah, he'd be fine at Exeter.
Fit right in Exeter.
And then
not Bristol. Not Irish.
Definitely not Bristol.
Weirdly, I think Gloucester would be okay for him.
Yeah.
Weird. I think Gloucester has sort of got their act together. Now it gets fun.
I can see him fitting in at Newcastle as well.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So, yeah, those are Owen Farrell friendly teams.
Yeah.
Quins?
No.
Maybe. They all quite... Oh, no, they do things differently.
And they're a bit more balanced than that.
No, you've got to remember... I didn't think this was a thing. I just thought...
Oh, Quins play Saracens next weekend as well. This is awesome.
I thought Harlequins hated Saracens, and Saracens didn't know that they exist, right? But the only time I've seen Alex Sanderson get as motivated as he did was because of Harlequins. He loathes Harlequins. Mm. They all loathe Harlequins. I mean, it really is a thing. And I don't think they loathe them as a rugby-playing... entity. I don't think they loathe them individually as people. You know, it's very personal. I don't think they care much for the rugby.
But is it something about Quins? Because the London Irish one is a geographical thing because they're on each other's patch. But again, I don't think Quins are as bothered about the London Irish rivalry. But London Irish really, really want to be Quins.
Everyone hates Quins. I think
there is
all,
a bit of that.
They all hate Quins. So yeah, Owen Farrell.
Is it the Maseratis and the swagger?
Almost certainly.
Oh, did you see the Leicester?
Leicester new sponsor.
Yeah, the new sponsor.
Yes, Lamborghini.
Leicester Lamborghini.
That's very cool, isn't it?
I mean, that is, bearing in mind Quins won the title and they've got, and we've been talking about their Maserati, maybe that's what it is. Steve Borthwick, not a man you'd associate with Lamborghini.
No, far from it.
Far from it, but actually, maybe he's seen, look, we need to get an high-end, I don't know why I'm talking about Steve Diamond.
Yeah.
We need to get a high-end car sponsor if we're going to win the title.
Do you know who the high-end car sponsor is for sell shocks?
Let me guess. Let me guess. Tesla?
Bentley.
Bentley.
Bentley. Yeah. Nice.
I've got Bentley dealership. Are there any others?
Probably.
Are there any other car sponsors? Those are the two big ones. Oh, obviously.
Oh, Land Rover are all over rugby, obviously.
Yeah.
And Mitsubishi were all over
the Shoguns back in the day.
Oh, and Gloucester.
And Gloucester, because Gloucester, their CEO, I think, owns some dealerships or some such thing. Lance Bradley. Yeah. So, we've got our own Farrell table now. We should do a table of teams that Owen Farrell would fit into best on a weekly basis.
Mm. Yeah, I can't see him fitting into too many South African or... Sorry, no, South African would be fine. Australian or New Zealand teams?
No.
Not as much.
What would you... In answer to the question then, which team would you like? If there was a Hard Knocks type, like they have in the NFL, where they have an behind the scenes or...
Or the Tottenham, the Spurs documentary on...
The NFL ones are so much better than that.
The Spurs one was good, actually. Yeah, the Tottenham one was awesome. Because,
mainly because of Mourinho.
Yeah, the way they handle themselves, like that training ground is so cool.
Yeah.
The weird sort of change room they've got.
If Diamond goes in at Bath, get that filmed.
Oh, yes. Wow. That would be awesome.
That would be the one.
Yeah. And that, I think Diamond and Bath would be very similar to Farrell and Worcester. It's slightly different.
Did you notice after I'm not suggesting our podcast had anything to do with it, but there were loads of rumours about Steve Diamond and Bath, and we were talking about that last week.
Yeah, so I don't know what's true and what's not. I don't know how tenable Stuart Hooper is at the moment. He's lost another game. They've not won a single game since the Premiership started this season. So, but nothing seems to be coming out of Bath about this. I would add Steve Diamond to the staff tomorrow. Don't know if I'd sack someone, but I'd add Steve Diamond. Basically, yeah.
What role?
Consultant, senior consultant coach thing, something like that.
Do it like the Stuart Lancaster role.
Yeah, I think so. Because somebody...
Senior coach.
Yeah, someone needs to be... There again, what is going on at Bath, which means that Stuart Hooper is a DOR, fine, he does all the rugby stuff. Hatley is the head coach. He's renowned for scrimmaging and forwards work. But he's also got to do the defence as well. He's got a huge remit.
Yeah, and that's where it's... gone wrong for Bath.
Yeah. So I think your scrum coach and your set piece coach needs to be separate from your defensive coach. You need someone thinking about this who doesn't have the head coach job, the head coach role, and all the other things.
To bring Dimes in to do that.
I mean, Dimes could do it. It would ruffle a few feathers. No, actually, probably wouldn't. You know, people say this like he's some sort of monster. He's actually, he could deal with it easily.
He's not a monster. That's not what I mean when I say this.
None of us say that.
But he's very, if Steve Diamond's involved, it's his ship.
Yes.
That's what I mean. So when he went to the CEO role to at Sale and he handed the reins over to Brian Redpath. I think part of the reason it didn't work for Brian Redpath is because Steve Diamond was at the club.
Yeah.
Because the second it started to go wrong, Steve Diamond came out of the boardroom, back onto the training paddock, and...
Yeah, because...
Got his boots on again.
Most CEOs...
And it worked, so I'm not knocking it, but it's his show when he's in town.
Most CEOs can get severely browbeaten, can't they, by their director of rugby. Because director of rugby's, not only are they usually ex-senior professionals anyway... They do talk a lot of technical nonsense. And now it's even worse because you've got technical nonsense overlaid with philosophy nonsense and learning nonsense and all this just nonsense, right? So being a CEO and trying to decipher all this must be a nightmare. Don't think you could get away with that if Steve Diamond was your CEO. I remember when Sale lost to somebody. This is like back in the days before all the South African show.
London Welsh?
Could well have been. Could be someone. And the next week they won, and Dimes is doing the presser after the victory. And he just said, well, we looked at our defence, asked some really basic questions about, do people know their jobs? And people didn't know their jobs around the ruck. He actually called out a couple of players who literally did not know where they were. So this week we went back to basics, and we actually fixed our defence by doing A, B and C. Now, yeah, that's exactly why you need a director of rugby who can, turn his hand to pretty much anything. But he's basically said that my defensive coach didn't do a good enough job. Next week it was all fixed.
Damning indictment of the defense coach.
Yeah, but he sorted it out next week.
Let's talk another positive, though. You mentioned it as well. Gloucester, is that... I think they had a draw in amongst it, so it's four unbeaten now.
They are well coached. They are organised, they're well coached, they're disciplined.
And
they've got a fly half who wants to play, who can kick sticks.
Absolutely. I've still got questions over their pack. However, they're well organised. George Skivington has got them working well in some of that tight play, and the driving maul made the difference.
Really impressed with them. Really impressed with them. I thought they would be bottom feeders, bottom three, something like that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I think they'll still fall. I think they'll probably end up eighth, something like that. But they're doing very well. And yeah, you've got to give credit.
I should actually say they've got two tens, two fly halves who can play. Yes. Obviously they've got Hastings and then Lloyd Evans.
Lloyd Evans, yeah.
Yeah, who played this weekend.
Can you fiddle with your mic input? There's a little buzz on the line.
Got it?
No.
Marker.
Yeah, that's good.
Good.
That's good.
Crack on.
Good.
Something that was present in the Gloucester game and also in the Saracens game.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
What's your opinion?
Tights.
Yeah.
Yeah, this caused all sorts of...
So, I'm going to put something forward and you tell me what you think. I think a talking point...
Oh, sorry, update. Andy Christie's got back to me. No, I'm at least 100 kilograms.
I want more specific details than that.
Yeah.
Because I'm more than 50 kilograms, but that doesn't really...
Yep.
Small details matter. Andy Christie, you better give us a full answer or JB will be coming around to weigh you.
Yeah, exactly. He's over 100 kilograms, so there we go.
Yeah, okay. No, what I was going to say was, on the tight situation, does it feel like, and this happens from time to time, and more so in recent years than ever, where... some people erect a straw man
in order
to have an argument.
Yeah.
Because I don't think your average rugby fan gives a damn whether players wear tights or not.
There was one account that just said the most pathetic thing. It's like, on Twitter, it was like, you need to have a word with yourself, shake your head and uppercut yourself a few times. No one cares.
I don't think anyone cares, do they?
No, look, if the pros want to wear shorts, they're the pros, not me. They can wear tights. They can wear some tights. I don't see...
They know what's best for them.
Exactly.
Some people tape themselves up in certain ways, wear pads, wear scrum caps, wear pink boots, whatever.
You're
a pro.
The artificial pitch argument is interesting because I play on artificial pitch. Every week I played 10, 11 games on artificial pitches. Never had a single issue with them. But I don't play as hard as Tom Curry. So that might be why I'm not... You know, who was the one... Oh, who was the lad today? He went
Ali Crossdale.
Ali Crossdale. There's no way I'm making that move.
If I could run as fast as Ali Crossdale and then was diving for a ball in the in-goal area, I might wear tights so I didn't cut my knees open.
Yeah, if Ali Crossdale...
But I'm not going to run as fast as Ali Crossdale.
Yes, exactly right. So I don't know.
Anymore.
I bet you'd beat him over 10K. Over 5K.
I could beat him over 5K.
Yeah, you'd beat him over 5K.
So, I don't know, he's wiry. Crossdale. Yes,
yeah. I'll beat him over 5K. Mm.
But yeah, my view is wear tights. If you want to wear tights, wear tights. A bit awkward for line-out jumping.
Yeah, but the reason I mentioned what I said is I didn't see anyone saying, oh, it's soft, shouldn't wear tights, it's soft.
Yeah,
almost every account which was saying, oh yeah, tights should be allowed and I can't believe, you know, rugby, you know, when they make up somebody saying rugby's gone soft, do you know what I mean? The counter rugby got... all comes from accounts that have never played the game. They've never played the game. They have no idea what they're talking about.
It's like pre-game. We've played with all different characters. Like you say, tape yourself up how you want. Some people headbutt a wall. Some people sit there nice and quietly. Whatever.
Yeah, some people get on with it. Michael Bublé. Yeah.
Hey, we had a court session.
You listen to Michael Bublé, did you, Phil?
No, I think... I'm sure I remember reading an interview where James Haskell said he would listen to Michael Bublé. Pretty much.
Who was it?
I don't believe him.
No. I don't know if it was Haskell. It was Phil Vickery used to listen to. What was her name? She was in the 2012 Olympics. She was the one person that played in both the opening ceremony and the end. She did that "Read All About It" song.
Huh? I have no idea.
What's her name?
Yeah, music is
Emily Sandé.
Oh,
Phil
okay.
Vickery listened to Emily Sandé. World Cup winner Phil Vickery. Listen to Emily Sandé before matches.
Presumably only at the end of his career. She wouldn't have been around when he was...
Yes, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's when his career started going downhill.
I think
not listen to Emily Sandé.
Yeah. I think they lie about what they listen to just to, you know, get a rise out of people.
And the music before games is one thing where it it must get more difficult as you get older, JB. I mean, do the young lads at Tok Age put on
some
filthy
bangers,
like rap tunes and stuff?
No, there were some absolute bangers going off in the Tok Exchange Room before our win against Eccles this week. It was a welcome addition. But when I was back in Broughton Park, we did have some youths there who played some other music, which wasn't great. It's very hipstery Chorlton, and occasionally you get someone who wants to do something different. But the Didsbury music's absolutely on point, like everything at Didsbury, on point. Now, talking of local rugby, let's have our local rugby segment. So I've decided I'm going to adopt a medium team. I've got a good team, I've got a grassroots team, I need a medium team. So I'm going to start watching out for Plymouth Albion results. I believe that they won again this weekend.
Well, they're still down the bottom of National 1.
Yeah, they had a few hard games to start with, but now they seem to be picking up some points. But more importantly, you played this weekend.
Yeah, they needed some bodies at Broughton Park, so I came out of retirement.
Did you?
I bloody loved it, mate. I'm not going to lie. I absolutely loved it. I surprised myself, and this was going to be one of the things.
What a humble
brag
this is.
No. I surprised myself because I was thinking, oh, I'm going to have a snapped hamstring. I'm going to do a fill.
Yeah.
So I'll just take it easy. I'll take it easy. But, and this is my thing, for anyone who's advancing in years, getting towards the end of their playing days, do CrossFit.
Do CrossFit. I couldn't agree more.
Because I felt really good after the game, and I'm convinced that CrossFit...
You're probably fitter now than times when you played in your prime.
I am.
Have you seen the shape of Will Greenwood at 49? Mm. He looks absolutely awesome. He could definitely play. If he wanted to play for level 8 or whatever, his local team, he could do that easily.
Definitely could.
He's in incredible shape. Yeah, I agree. CrossFit is the best way to extend your rugby career. I mean, you've got to do it every single day. It's going to cost you £80 a month, if you're lucky.
Yeah, plus supplements. Yeah, plus the shoes,
and all the horrendous,
bags,
all the horrible kit that
the shorts,
that people buy.
The amazing kit. In fact, you've got to dedicate, I don't know, 20 hours a week to this, and then
you don't go to CrossFit and wear those neoprene knee things. Having just said, I don't care what people wear. I also don't care. You wear whatever you need to for whatever you're doing, but I'm not a big fan of neoprene knee things because I don't think they do anything.
You know what I'm a massive fan of? I'm a massive fan of two things. Tape. I love taping up my hands. I've got this like...
For CrossFit?
Yeah.
You get little cuts there when you do dumbbell stuff. Yeah, not dumbbell stuff, you do kettlebells.
Yeah, but even when I'm not doing kettlebells, I just like to tape up. And also chalk. Can't get enough chalk. Clapping it everywhere. That's worth like 5 kilograms extra alone, isn't it?
And I've got those calluses on the... What are they called?
I don't know.
Calluses, aren't they?
Yeah.
No, but on the what part of your body? I can't think what it is.
Oh, like the palm?
The bottom of your fingers.
The palm.
The other side of your knuckles.
And do you get those little blister bubbles when you do loads of pull-ups and stuff?
No, because I've got really cool little protective things.
Gymnastic things,
yeah. Which, again, awesome.
I should get tough hands.
Yeah, I can do that as well.
We've never done a good, proper, a normal day's work in our life. Mind you, your hands should be good for CrossFit from
the
doing
boat.
Up the...
Boats, what, yeah.
What's the name again?
The Phyllis Mabel.
Phyllis Mabel, that's it.
Yeah, exactly right. And also, from years of handing off, they're pretty robust now. So they're absolutely fine.
So yeah, I'm going to play again next weekend.
Wonderful, nice. Sir. So I think I have got a week off next weekend, so I'm going to be hunting for a second team to play for.
Play with Cocker?
Come play for BP2s or whatever.
I wouldn't mind a little run out for BP2s. I'll see what they're up to. We had a quarter session this week, so we had two teams out, one against Eccles, and
I saw some of the photos of this because one of the
photos
on my son's team
that's strictly forbidden. What? Wait,
my son's team.
What do you know?
Wait, I'll tell you what I know. My son's team. One of the lads that plays on the same team, the dad, one of the coaches, used to play at Tok H.
Okay.
Anyway, he was at the club yesterday. Watched the game. Told me about the quarter session and showed me some photos of some of his mates who were dressed up for the quarter session, and one in particular where the theme was it babies and grandfathers?
Yes, there's a dividing line, so everyone's got to be either an old man
And there was one guy, and this is the photo I saw, where this one guy did it brilliantly, and this is when quarter sessions and stuff like this work, when people really buy in, and this guy shaved his hair so he had old man hair.
So he shaved just like the crown of his head. It was brilliant. Yeah, we had a spectacular moment yesterday. One of the biggest hits I've seen in about three or four years. The ball got kicked through. For some reason, there was a prop on the wing dropping back to receive a kick.
Hiding.
I don't know what he was doing. Positionally, perfect, because otherwise we would have scored. He picks the ball, but he sort of... He picks the ball as if he's doing a deadlift with his chest up. And our number eight absolutely smashes into him. Game over, lights out.
I've had this verified from the same second source. Mentioned, he said, oh, there was a tackle today. One of the biggest tackles I've ever seen. And the guy was out cold.
Goodness.
Lights out. Was it a headshot?
No. Legal chest, shot. Chest. The prop is just picking it up in an awkward position. I think he was getting up from the last hit, which he suffered, which was also absolutely monstrous. I think, yeah, and then so his next involvement was against our Nordic Viking number eight.
Oh,
goodness me.
Just next season, we'll have to do, me and Phil will have to commentate and do a live streamed show, because when local derby Broughton Park... The Raffy Quirks Broughton Park play Didsbury Toc H in a local derby. That is going to be something else.
Yeah, well, hopefully next year it will happen. If the leagues merge, we should be in Broughton Park's league, and that will be exciting. I'm not going to say we got, you know, through
talking of lower league rugby.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to say that we've climbed three levels since I've been there, but I guess that's what we've done, isn't it? So sometimes you've got to face reality.
Just, wait, how low were they?
Level 9, I think.
The buzz is back.
Oh.
Oh.
There you go, it's gone. No, it's still there.
Level 9, so steadily improved.
Technical solution.
Right, what were you talking about?
You were talking about some lower league rugby. Any other rugby we need to cover off?
No.
Quins beat Bath, predictably.
Yeah. Andre Esterhazen's very good at rugby, it turns out.
Yeah, Marcus Smith looked amazing for his try, and there was one other try that he looked amazing for.
All
yeah,
tries.
He just looks amazing all the time.
Just amazing.
Bath got nothing out of the game. Yeah. Unsurprisingly, but put on a better show than last week, which is not hard.
They work hard, they're completely disorganised. They're a mess. Yeah. They're an absolute mess, aren't they?
And Leicester won again.
Oh, yeah, so I did watch this.
Not a great game.
I disagree with you strongly.
Of course you do, because it was 6-3 at half time. So it's exactly what you
I watched all this game. Not only did I watch it, I've also clipped up some of the lineouts and distributed them to Toc H players as examples of what we want to do. It was scrappy in that regard. Quite a lot of failed lineouts in the first half, an awful lot of lineouts. But I thought both teams absolutely went for it. The Leicester try, which was ultimately the difference between these two teams.
The Liebenberg try.
What a score that is.
It was awesome.
That was an awesome try.
And it was the scrum. It was Ben Youngs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Down the right wing.
Mm.
And Liebenberg hitting that line, and he knows who was covering. Was it Wilkinson covering across?
Yes,
he knew he could fend him. Wilkinson got to him with like 15 yards to go, and Liebenberg just knew he was big enough, strong enough, and going fast enough that there's no way he's stopping him. Yeah. So he's like smiling and like just fending him away to get over the line.
Yeah, Wilkinson is no Tom Hendricks. That was the difference. That try was the difference.
No, the difference.
Oh, and the scrum.
The scrum was a difference. And compounding the scrum with the disparity between the fly halves, with no disrespect to Kieran Wilkinson or Tom Curtis, who came on, who are good young players. They're not AJ McGinty. And when you get that when Leicester get that many penalties and George Ford knocks them all over and Sale have their opportunities and the kicks are missed, there you go, game over.
It is, isn't it? And yeah, you're comparing them to AJ McGinty. You should really compare them to George Ford, who is an absolute master at the moment.
Mm.
So it's always going to be an uphill battle. They've got the England starting halfbacks, or potential starting halfbacks, or ex-starting halfbacks, whatever you want to refer to them.
Yeah.
And Sale are operating with Gus Waugh and Kieran Wilkinson, who will both be very good players in their own right. As for Gus Waugh, if he plays really well, Sale will have a headache because they've got two young scrum halves. I mean, you can pretty much go with three. They've also got Cliff as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Premiership clubs are looking at Gus Waugh going, yeah, okay, we could do with an extra option. I thought he did all right.
He did all right. Equally, I mean, yes, I picking up on what Phil said earlier about Exeter, I put the same at Sale, but by the end of the autumn international period, potentially, without 9 and 10, like experienced 9 and 10, they could have a few defeats racked up, and that might cost them later in the season.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think they're going to lose some more games. I think lots of other teams will lose some more games, so it's not going to be that serious, but yeah, you're right. I think they will lose more.
Will they make top four?
I've got them to win the league.
I think you both had them
pre-season. We both had them to win.
What are they, like a couple of points off? Yeah, they probably can. Leicester are going to be top four. I'm convinced on that.
Saracens are going to be top four.
Yeah, so they're battling and over two.
Exeter are going to be top four, I think.
So Sale are going to be fighting for that last space, along with Quins.
Quins, Saints, Bristol, if they get their acting gear.
I can't. Bristol will eventually do something.
Have to. They've got too much talent not to do anything.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But there's an awful lot of competition for top four, which is exactly how the league should be.
Yeah, agreed. One thing I forgot to mention when you were doing your lower league rugby roundup is Phil's club, Sedgley Park. Top of the league now because they beat they beat Hull in a top of the table clash in National 2 North.
Bloody hell, that is a very big game.
Yeah.
So we wanted to go and watch Sedgley Park, Huddersfield on the 18th of December. Unfortunately, we can't because the biggest clash in the world is happening, which is Tokaj versus Widnes that day. So it looks like we're going to do the April game in Huddersfield instead, which should be good.
Yeah, that will be fun.
You happy with that, Phil? Delighted with that?
Always.
Now, what is the top end for Sedgley Park? Going up again and then coming back down?
I don't know.
We don't need to get into that. They're having a good season now.
Yeah, I don't think they'll pay more than they're currently paying for players because they've done it in the past and obviously got a couple
that's
of
why Phil was there player. it was no sense of loyalty having come through from the minis to the first. It was all for the cash.
When did they stop paying, Phil? Broadly speaking, about 5 years ago.
They're still paying, just not as
not,
much
just not enough. Yeah, not enough,
not at all. But yeah, I don't think they'll want to stretch themselves, so if they do go up they would probably come down again in a season or two.
Now, I've not listened to this podcast, and I suspect that I am going to listen to it. I've never heard of the podcast before, but I saw that there has been a podcast recorded, a rugby one, and the interview is with Mark Bright, who's 43 years old and still going strong.
At Richmond now. Was it London Scottish?
Is he?
Yeah, he's at Richmond and still scoring tries from number 8. He was at London Scottish, and then prior to that,
he was Redruth
ages.
I remember playing against him when he was at Redruth.
Well, he'd been at loads of clubs for ages at 43.
He does CrossFit. That's what it is. Podcast is just going to be him talking about CrossFit.
He played for England Sevens. He's a Kiwi by birth, but he played for England Sevens age 36.
Did he?
As a number 8.
Crikey.
I remember playing against him down at Redruth, and really intelligent player, reads the game really well, runs good lines, big and strong and quick. Even I probably played against him when he was in his mid-30s.
Amazing stuff. Yeah. Mark Bright might be the new Alan Paver test. Do you know who Alan Paver is? If the answer is yes, then you're a true rugby fan in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan Paver's even more niche than Mark Bright, I would suggest.
I don't know about that. Mark Bright or Alan Paver? Lee? Oh, not a true rugby.
See, he's got all the stash on, but he's not a proper rugby fan.
Doesn't know who Alan Paver is. Interesting. We'll talk about that off air.
Right, we've covered off Prem. Any other business? Anything else going on?
Nah.
Succession is just incredible. Best show on telly at the minute.
Succession.
Get it watched. Have you not watched Succession?
I've seen the first season and I was like, nah.
Season 2 is immense.
Yeah, I might give it a go.
It's right. I can't believe you. Because it's a show that I don't know. There's no one I know more. There's no one I know who I think would like it more than you.
Yeah.
Because it's got a financial backdrop, so it's a bit of a busman's holiday, and also all the characters are awful.
Yeah. I do like it when all the characters are awful. I've watched first. The problem is when I get to a box set, my immediate inclination is just to read what happened on Wikipedia. So I didn't even finish Breaking Bad. I just read it on Wikipedia. I've watched all of Lost technically just by watching it on reading on Wikipedia.
The reason I would say watch Breaking Bad is so that you can then really enjoy Better Call Saul, which again is one of the best shows.
Oh, it's amazing!
Around
absolutely amazing. I actually read the Wikipedia entry when putting my daughter to bed because she spent ages going down. I read the Wikipedia entry for every episode of Sopranos. It's actually much more enjoyable doing each episode in like 30 seconds here. 30, oh, that's how it fitted in. That's what they were doing. Yeah, that's what I recommend.
One thing to note that I meant to mention last week, but Ben got in touch with us. Ben, who played rugby with us down at North Dorset Sevens, Sea Gypsy.
Otherwise known as Sea Gypsy, yes.
Got in touch with us about the colourblindness, because he is colourblind. He says...
This was the story the other week about red and green teams.
Red-green. He does say, if you've got enough time, you can figure it out, but it can cause issues, particularly in a fast-moving environment, which obviously rugby is. So he suggests... I think the number's 8% for male population. So generally, you'll have one or two players in most teams who have an issue with it. And we've probably all played with and against people. So he suggests some small tweaks could help things out. And I actually spoke to a PhD, biologist PhD.
Really?
Who specialises in the eye. About this, and she was explaining the photoreceptors.
Okay.
So red-green colourblind, you should have two photoreceptors and that pick up the wavelength, and red and green are on at the same point on the wavelength when you're looking from one axis, but on the other axis it's completely different. So if you imagine a graph, like a light wave,
yep.
Red and green from the y-axis, they will both be at exactly the same point. From the x-axis, they are totally different. So if you can pick, as most people can, pick from two axes... two photoreceptors, you can pick it out. If you don't, if you only have one of these, you just can't distinguish the two and they just look...
Where on earth do you find an eye PhD person?
My sister-in-law.
Oh, there you go.
But
the harsh reaction to that would be, well, I'm not as... quick as Ali Crossdale, but yeah. Crossdale's not allowed to run as fast as I am because I'm not as quick as him.
Well, we were talking, I was asking her, so she's perhaps genuinely one of the most qualified people in the world to talk about this, actually. This is like her area of expertise. And she said that a couple of easy solutions would be to go for different shades, so either a bright red and a dull green.
Okay.
Or a bright green and more like a pinky red.
Yeah.
As something that's quite easy. And you'd already, like, if you look at Island Wales, you've had kits on those spectrums anyway. Like, the green of Ireland has been...
It's literally only Island Wales that's going to cause a problem for this.
Pretty much, yeah.
So anyone's either in blue, blue's fine.
South Africa.
White.
South Africa, Wales.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, there's a couple. But the other one, so that's one option. Or you just incorporate some, and it doesn't have to be the whole kit, but some hoops or some vertical stripes as part of it, and then it's instant easy. Two instant easy solutions.
So you don't need to abandon 150 years of tradition necessarily.
Well, if everyone just has a white kit,
White kit would also work.
Club rugby, really everyone well, having easily. a white kit. I'm on board with that. I think international is different.
Yeah, I agree.
Wales playing red, Ireland playing green, and that matters.
It does matter. You might be your only cap. It might be your only cap, and you want to wear the green.
I know that sounds flippant, maybe to some people, but I think that matters.
Yeah, I actually think that most people with colourblindness would say that matters. They want to wear the red or the green. Now, obviously, they can't for competitive reasons on occasions, but you know, primarily international, you should wear your home kit when you can. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with the shades. I mean, if we change the shade slightly,
that's a great solution.
Which has happened lots of times. Like the island green has been from quite a dark, like almost like a khaki green, to a very bright.
They need to sort out what kind of green that they're going for.
I like consistency in my colour palette, particularly with the French kit.
The darker green's a bit more trendy. Like the lighter green has really aged. Mm. And you see, Leicester Tigers go between dark green and light green. I love Leicester Tigers and light green.
I love the old light green.
Yeah, I do for Leicester Tigers.
Leicester Tigers had.
Now they're more of a racing green.
I prefer Ireland in the bright emerald green.
Yeah.
Probably.
If you were watching, like, it could be any era of colourised television from, say, the 60s through to the mid-90s with heavy cotton shirts, with a white collar, that emerald green, bright and crisp emerald green. That means Wales might have to have a duller red or a pinkier.
I'm all right with Wales playing in pink. I'm fine with that.
The kit I really like, the Manchester United pink kit, the really light pink kit.
Oh, no, nice. I don't like that.
What?
No, I'm not a fan of that.
No, I'm not a fan of that.
Oh, it's lovely.
I like the change kit that Phil wore a shirt of the other day.
That is a nice kit.
Bad day at the office today, Phil.
Might not be wearing my United kit for a little while. Keep my head down.
Yeah, probably. You don't usually wear full kit for match days.
I watched the game midweek in a Chelsea pub.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's quite good fun. Obviously, Chelsea were on as well.
I wish I liked football. I mean, I like the stadiums, I like the financing, I like the gossip, I like everything, but the game is awful. I believe you, me, I have tried and tried. And people getting excited about the football say, it was on for 5 minutes, like, I've got to go, I can't watch this.
Yeah, I don't love the game. I do find it fascinating when things like this happen, because I remember when City beat United 6-1 at Old Trafford, and listening to the commentary of it, when they used to have the fan zone commentators. Do you remember that? When Sky Sports had the fan, you could tune in, and the City one was like, 6-1 at the Swamp! 6-1 at the Swamp! And that's become like Aguero! That's become one of those phrases that City fans know. 6-1 at the Swamp.
Yeah. I'm not one of these people that just hates football. I would wish I loved it, but I just can't get bored with it at all.
Some interesting,
I think it's because the players are not very nice in the main.
I don't even care. I could not give a shit about that. there's so much stuff to learn from football. It's just the game is actually boring.
So I watch very, very little. I watch United probably every couple of weeks. I watch United, but I follow the Premier League so much because I do a draft fantasy football. Yeah. Just it makes it so exciting.
And draft fantasy football is so much better because I'm missing fantasy the rugby draft this season. Not happening, obviously. That's just devastating.
Yeah.
Betting picks keeps you involved with rugby.
Yeah, but the draft element is absolutely essential because I'm just doing the regular fantasy Premier League and it's everyone ends up with the same players.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's
rubbish. Terrible.
That's because I play in a 16-team draft league, which means that you are down to...
Yeah, right.
Like, James McArthur is one of my star men. Norgard of Brentford is one of my star men. He got me 7 points this week from TIBR. Which is amazing. Very exciting. Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Guys you never even heard of.
Now, would you play a fantasy draft league if the way you pick the players was by simultaneous multi-round auction?
Oh, now you're talking.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I think now that fantasy rugby draft is gone, sadly, there is a gap in the market where you can literally just buy the software for the simultaneous multi-draft auction and boom.
I reckon we could do this. So I remember when I was at school, before when the only fantasy football stuff was ones you do by sending your team into a newspaper and then and they publish your scores. When they did that, a lad at school set one up in class and he took money. Fair play, it was a little business he had. And he took money to enter and then he would do all the calculations and every Monday at school... In the classroom, he'd put up the table on the board.
I know a guy who did that, and you know, had to post it in or whatnot. He's like the Sun Fantasy Football League, and he had. Do you remember the Middlesbrough striker,
Ravanelli?
No,
Lazarus
or something like that.
Lazarus. Janino.
No, not a famous one. Not famous
okay,
one. But he got this guy because he didn't fill in his form correctly. And he was the top scorer for the first half of the league. Awesome. Well, what was his name? Oh, I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We've definitely, if we're talking about football, this podcast is over. So we're
predictions.
Patreon. Oh yeah. I'll do the goodbyes now, and then we'll do the predictions. Patreon.com/eggchasers. Contact eggchasers@gmail.com. He's at Jay Beardmore. We're at Rugby Podcast.
Yep.
What's going on?
Next week's fixtures, we have Friday night, Gloucester host Exeter.
Ooh.
Exeter.
Exeter will get back on the wagon.
Exeter will be angry. That'll be close, though, I reckon.
5 points to one, maybe. Gloucester might...
No internationals. No internationals.
Are they all...
And that's going to hurt Exeter more.
Hmm. Yeah, true. True.
I'll go Exeter.
But still Exeter. Presumably Exeter still have... They might lose to England. Presumably, they'll still get Hoggy out.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hoggy's got to play. Okay. Then Saturday, all 3 o'clock kickoffs, we've got Bath hosting Wasps. Might get their first win.
Bath might get their first win with the walking wounded of Wasps.
I'm actually going to say Bath.
Yeah, give me
I'm
Bath.
I'm going to say Bath because of the injuries.
Yep. Then London Irish host Bristol. Not a game that Bristol wants. Good rest week for Bristol.
It's a game I'd love to watch. I'm going to go for Irish.
At Brentford.
I think Irish as well. A badly coached
team. This was one of the best games of the season last year. It was a draw, wasn't it? Like 33-all or something.
Irish love a draw. Give me Bristol.
Okay.
Then Northampton Saints hosting Leicester.
Leicester. This is going to be dynamite. This is like rolling the clock back 10, 15 years when it actually matters. Here's another thing for you. I don't know what the attendances were this week in the Premiership. They look like they're going up, though. They look like they're finally starting to get back to what they were.
Just in time for an outside force to go and ruin everything.
Let's not go there.
Okay, I'm going to go for Leicester.
I'm also going to go for Leicester. It's the competing or contradictory styles, isn't it? More flair against more brute force. Brute force has got to win out.
Brute force always wins. Always wins. Me and Chris Boyd had this actual disagreement. He says, well, you obviously see the game in terms of contact. When I see it as space. I'm like, yes, that is a fundamental disagreement that we have. But he also said that you need contact in certain positions to create space. So were we just aggressively agreeing? Who knows?
So I think we're all saying Leicester. Then Worcester Warriors host Sale. Away win.
Sale.
Sorry, who?
Worcester host Sale.
Touch and go on that one. Sale.
Sale by 50 points. And then Harlequins host Saracens.
Oh, that such a tasty game.
That's two awesome games.
Wow. I've got a feeling that Saracens are going to absolutely spank Harlequins.
I think Saracens...
If they have all their players...
If the England boys are out, it takes a bit away from both sides. It probably takes
Marla Smith.
I think they are, you know, because they don't have the first... They miss a game, before they go in.
As well.
Before, I'm sure they do.
And Marchand's not in... Oh, no, he's in the squad now.
He is, yeah, he got called up.
Because Anthony Watson's out.
Oh, I tell you what. This is dynamite. Saracens will be looking at Harlequins, thinking, you have something that we want. Not only that, it actually belongs to us.
Yeah.
They are going to absolutely wipe the floor with Harlequins.
I really wish this was... Oh, I hope it is full teams.
Oh, if it's not full teams, it's a travesty. And this is why they need to sort this out. Opening weekend isn't good enough. The second weekend isn't good enough. It then really heats up. We've got three or four incredible weekends.
And then this
round of games.
I think... Oh, it's so hard to call this one. I think I'm going to go Quins at home.
I think if it's full teams, I would say Saracens.
Yeah, full teams, Saracens.
Yeah, wait and see the
God,
teams.
I hope this is full teams.
Yeah.
What a weekend of rugby. And internationals?
We have... next week.
Well, we've got Wales, New Zealand,
Scotland, Tonga.
Right, fine. Okay.
Spain, Italy, and Wales versus New Zealand.
Well, that's the what time is that and when? Saturday afternoon.
Saturday 5:15.
Lovely.
Is what I've got in front of me.
Might watch it, might not. See what's happening at the Premiership.
The Premiership's all 3 o'clock kickoffs.
Is it? Yeah, but I've need. Hell yeah, actually, and the games won't be up, will they?
Yeah.
On Premiership TV. I've got a request for Premiership TV before we go. So Premiership TV, they're all singing, all dancing, great service from Premiership Rugby, allegedly. Basically has highlights or games. But I think they need to do more than this. I just don't think that's enough. So they have David Flatman doing, you know, chat of the week or whatever he's up to. And you know, it's a little bit, you know, it's not quite in-depth enough. Here's something which you could do. Can you put up videos of just every line-out from every game? And every scrum from every game, and every backs move from every game. I mean, why not? You need content. You've got the rights for it. Every lineup from every game would be really easy.
Mate, you need to invest in some rugby analysis software.
No, I don't.
And an ability to just record and code games. You should become one of those.
I can't think of anything I'd rather
Twitter
less do.
Twitter analysis accounts.
No.
Yeah, that, you strike me as that kind of guy.
I'm definitely not that kind of guy.
Moaning about tights. People moaning about tights.
No.
making up people moaning about tights to moan about tights.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Analysis, it bores me to tears. I really respect the guys that do it. I massively respect the guys that do it.
You just want to see lineouts.
I just want to see the lineouts.
There is some really interesting content by a few guys.
So the dead ball area, a good friend of mine, Graham, does some great analysis.
Mm. Yeah,
I would never want to put that together, but I'm so glad that someone else is out there doing the hard work for me.
I can't remember if that's one of the ones that has some... That doesn't matter.
Oh, he has all sorts of views, but he's bloody great analysis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On
so
that,
his analysis
yeah.
is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it, though. And also, I'm not entirely sure how valuable it is, because it's all retrospective. Tell me what's going to happen, not what has happened.
Hmm. That's why you make the big books.
That's exactly why.
In betting.
That's exactly why. When Toc H are winning the Champions Cup in, how many seasons will we need for that?
Seven.
And establish, give it eight seasons.
Yeah. Are you still going to be playing?
Well,
starting
Mark,
yeah. starting
well,
tired.
If he's still doing CrossFit, then yeah.
Yeah, if Mark Bright's still playing at 43, I don't see why I can't play Heineken Cup finals.
In your mid-40s.
In my mid-40s.
On that bombshell, see you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.